Well, it's a privilege to be with you tonight and this week. It's been about, I was trying to recall, I guess maybe 12 or 13 years since I was here. And sure is good to see what the Lord continues to do. And as I pray daily, I pray for your church that the Lord would continue to strengthen you. And I thank God for what he's doing through you, and pray it continues. And that the Lord would just work this week as well in Missions Conference. You know, Missions Conference, as Pastor Camilleri was saying, is really an emphasis in Christianity that without it, without the emphasis of the Great Commission, Christianity is really sort of a self-centered thing. You know what I'm saying? The songs for us, the blessings on us, the enjoyment of the things of the Lord and our salvation is ours, the church, the family. But the Great Commission sort of takes the emphasis off ourselves and puts it on others for whom Christ died. And I think it should be the most important emphasis of the year. And so glad to be with you to be a part of that. And I hope, you know, I told the guy when he hooked me up, and I'm going to go ahead and apologize in advance, because the last time I put one of these things on, I broke it. And I told the guy that, and he said, "That's all right, you won't break this one," and I broke his. So if that happens, I'm sorry. And then to put me behind a pulpit with wheels is very, very dangerous. So if something happens here, I'm sorry. I'm just going to go ahead and apologize in advance, and that'll be that. Good to be with you. Good to be saved. And let's go to the book of Genesis. And I want you to go to the last chapter of Genesis. When it's my opportunity to preach more than one message or several times in a place, especially in a conference like this, I like to sort of tie thoughts together and trust that the Spirit of God would really mold a message continually in hearts. And my focus, my emphasis, where I believe the Lord would have us in the Bible together during Missions Conference, will be in the book of Genesis and concerning the man Joseph. And I'll show you why I want to go there. And if you look at Genesis chapter 50, the Bible says in verse 19, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Verse 20, But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." God used Joseph not only to save those that are around him, but around the world in a worldwide famine. You know, as we looked at and we heard about Cambodia tonight, and we saw the red dots as a doer, as a guy that, the way I'm made up, I want to figure out, well, how do we do it? All right, there's the dots, figure it out, let's do it. And really, if Coca-Cola and all of them can take their product around the world, it's a shame that we can't take the most valuable thing in the world, eternal life and the Word of God, and the souls of men. But this week, I'm not even going to talk about how to do it, because I think sometimes we get involved in that and we forget sometimes God's not interested so much in how it's done, but who does it. And in maybe the most unlikely of places, God took someone in the book of Genesis to save a world. And he did something unique in that person and made Joseph a very different individual. And it was because of what God did in Joseph's life and how God made Joseph to become and who he was that caused the world to be reached. Because you could not have planned it out. You could not have figured it out, but God needed a vessel. As I study the life of Joseph, if anybody does, you understand that probably there is no greater type in the Bible of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some have said, and I've studied a lot of it, but some people have said there are over 150 similarities specifically in the life of Joseph to Jesus Christ. Now, if I were to look at your life, how many could I find? If you looked at my life, how many things could you write down and say, man, that right there, that's just like Jesus. But look at that step in his life. Look at that character. That's just like Jesus. And instead of focusing on how to do things, I think if God would make us like the Lord Jesus Christ, like the character of Joseph, maybe he could use us to save much people alive if I was a more usable vessel. Every time you look at a page in Joseph's life, wow, there's Jesus. No wonder he saved much people alive. The need was for a Joseph. The need was for Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I'm preaching something that's maybe easy to preach, but it's very hard to live. And Lord, I don't have the answer of how to reach a world. And God, the famine that was coming in Genesis that would destroy multitudes of lives, nobody could have figured that out. And Lord, we certainly wouldn't have put together a story to save the whole world like you wrote down in the Bible. But yet you molded and you made a man. You made a man in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ that was used to save much people alive. And Lord, as we look at our world and we're burdened over places we've never been and we don't know how it can be done, we pray that you would mold us and make us into the image of Jesus Christ, because we know what this world needs is another Joseph. And I pray you would make it in us tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hold your finger there. Would you look at Galatians chapter 4? You know all the scriptures. I could quote them to you. We as the people of God, the Bible says that ye should follow his steps, right? Speaking of the Lord Jesus. 1 Peter 2:21. First, as you're turning to Galatians 4, 1 John 2:6, the Bible says we ought to walk even as he walked. A lot of times we don't do what we should and we don't do what we ought. The Bible said, 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus said, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. The Bible lets us know that in the plan of God, that God's plan is to conform me to the image of Christ. Can I tell you what? That's not supposed to start at the rapture. What God wants and what God needs in this world are living confirmations to the image of Jesus Christ. What the world needs is a Joseph that has 150 similarities to the Savior. When I read this verse, I'm often convicted in my heart. Galatians 4, the Bible says in verse 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be what? Until Christ be formed in you. It's one thing for Christ to be in you. It is another thing for Christ to be formed in you. Christ is in me by the new birth. Christ was formed in these Galatians as Paul travailed in birth again. that they might be formed and made into the image of Christ, so Christ would fill their lives, so what comes out of their life looks like Jesus instead of looks like me. If we want to reach people, we know who can do it, right? Jesus can do it. If he'll come out of me, if I'll be formed into his image, if I'll be a Joseph with all of his similarities, maybe in a way in which I don't even know and it doesn't even matter, God can turn a society and a world upside down and feed the world with living bread. Go to Genesis 37 with me. I could talk about Joseph, you know, he seeks his brethren and they reject him, and at this second meeting he's restored. And I could talk about, you know, the blood evidence of death for Joseph and the bloody death of Jesus Christ, though both were yet alive. I could talk about the temptation of Joseph and Jesus, the false accusations against Joseph and Jesus about both of them being 30 years of age, about both of them taking Gentile brides, both of them being becoming rulers and all that. But the bride one, that really gets me there. I mean, you know who Joseph married? He married the most heathen woman that was, he married a priest's daughter, and the priest was not a God's priest. Joseph married somebody out of the devil's family. Amen. And put her into God's family. Isn't that wonderful? But let's start here in Genesis 37. The Bible says, verse 2, these are the generations of Jacob. And he starts with Joseph. Because without Joseph, there's going to be no family left. Without Joseph, it doesn't even matter who else is in the line. They're all going to die. Joseph being 17 years old. Wonder if God can use a young person. Wonder if God can use a young person to save a world and to save much people alive. 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wife. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. This guy can't help it. He just tells the truth all the time. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. I want you to look at how deeply Joseph is loved. You see, there's such a contrast here. Israel loved Joseph more than all. This is a loved son of his father, just like, of course, our Savior was loved of his father. All this love that's poured out upon Joseph, because he was the son of his old age, and made him a coat of many colors, verse 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they what? They hated him. So he's loved extremely, but he's hated just as extremely, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Drop down to verse 11, the Bible says, and his brethren envied him. Well, look verse 8, latter part of verse 8. And they hated him yet the more. That's three times. For his dreams and for his words. They hated him because of what he was saying. Verse 11, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. They hated him. They hated him the more. They hated him the more, though he was loved of his father. Is that not the picture of Jesus Christ? Now go to John. Hold your finger. John 15. John chapter 15. You say, what does that have to do with missions? I'm going to read it to you. We are so loved of the Father. We as God's people are so loved of our Savior. We're so loved of our God. But at the same time, we are called to go seek people that not only hate God, but they hate us. The song said, how can we reach a world we never touch? How can we reach a world that hates our guts? You do understand that's the reality. If you speak the words of your Father, well, let's just read it. John 15. John 15, the Bible said in verse 9, just like it started with Joseph, John 15, 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain, your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But as soon as he gets through talking about love, verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. And then verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. The only way the world's going to love you is if you're of the world. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. What's all the reason for the hatred? Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Jesus said, you know why they hate me? Because I took their coat off. I took the cloak that was hiding their sin. You know why people despise preaching today? That's real preaching, that's biblical preaching, that's truthful preaching, because it exposes what we are and we can't hide anymore. And there's a hatred of that unless you want to get rid of it. But I'm glad for the day I cast aside my wicked sinfulness and let Jesus, and I'm glad it was exposed, because it wasn't helping me, it was hurting me, it was destroying my life. And Jesus said this, look, just like they hated me, they're going to hate you. So what does that have to do with missions? Well, the people in Cambodia don't love you. The people around this world don't love you. Probably some of your neighbors don't love you. If the truth be told, somebody in this church probably doesn't love you, which is really a sad thing, isn't it? We have enough people hating us without us hating ourselves. Hating each other. And by the way, don't talk about how much you love souls when you can't get along with people that you can see. Amen? I mean, really, that's just, come on, we can't play church about that thing. If we're going to get really serious about missions, we got to get honest. Well, let's love the world. Let's reach the and Jesus said, how can you love God if you whom you haven't seen, and you can't even love somebody you do see? Oh, it's easy to love people halfway around the world you never seen and you don't have to talk to, and that never gets on your nerves. Yeah, let's give Cambodians, yeah, get on the gospel. Oh, we love them. Oh, look at that picture and cry. Yeah, live with them for about 3 years. And then you'll get tired, just as tired of them as you get tired of the people you're tired of right now. We have a problem with our hearts. We talk ourselves into thinking that we really love souls until we see the hatred. And reaching the world for Christ is hard enough, trying to reach people that hate you. We must love one another and get in this thing together. Oh, we're not going to reach people that hate us. Hey, if you hadn't noticed, you're outnumbered. You want the odds to go down lower? You look across this country, people just get put out. They get unfriendly. They have spats in the church and at home, and they can't get along. Hey, there's a world to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have time for little church problems. We got millions of people without a Bible, without a preacher, without a church. And you're worried about who said something to your kid? It got a little quiet right there. I don't know why. We get more concerned about the little bitty things that doesn't have anything to do with people dying and going to hell. And it hinders our effort together. And then we see the pictures and we say, oh, let's just have a heart for the lost. No, if we'll just get our heart right to the point it'll be like Christ's heart, then we can even love people that hate us. Well, why don't you start with church? People in your neighborhood hate you. And you're supposed to love them to Jesus, right? And give them the gospel. Have concern for their soul. Probably some of your relatives probably hate you that don't know Christ, right? But I'm telling you, I've been out there in the world. I've been to many continents and many countries, and they hate you. And all you have to do is pull the cloak off of their sin. So you might as well, we have to have the heart of Joseph to say, okay, Lord, if I'm going to save much people alive, I got to love people that hate me. Because really, it doesn't matter who hates me, because I know that you love me. I know your love, and I want them to know your love. And it doesn't matter what they say about me, and it doesn't have anything to do with how I'm treated. You loved me, I'm going to love them. You know how hated Joseph was? He was hated by his brethren. The devil hated Joseph. He was a roaring lion trying to devour Joseph at every turn of his life, because the devil knew how much God loved him. And the devil wanted to destroy him. And you don't get very far along with the brethren hating him and the devil hating him and Potiphar's wife coming along. And yes, she hated him too. Anybody you want to sin with, you hate. That's why the great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. If you really love people, you don't want to sin with them and bring the judgment of God down on them, right? Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. If I know that, why would I, if I really, oh, I love them. If you love them, you'd stay away from them so God won't judge them and be angry with them. Potiphar's wife hated Joseph. She loved herself. And then not only Potiphar's wife hated him, but Potiphar hated him. He came with great wrath. How do we reach people that hate us? There's your example. You know how bad Saul hated Stephen? Kill him, I'll hold the clothes while you stone him to death. And Stephen, boy, I think Stephen cast a long shadow on the Apostle Paul. And while he's writing at the end of his life, Paul says, boy, I tell you what, I'm the less than the least of all saints, and I'm the chief of sinners, and when God had his witnesses and his martyrs, I put my voice again. He could never get it out of his mind, seeing that face of Stephen saying, God, I pray not, don't lay this to their charge. Forgive them, Lord. Stephen loved people that hated him. And you know what he did? He reached the man that would be the missionary that would bring the gospel to the Gentile world. That's why you're sitting where you're sitting right now. And you never would have planned it out that way. But because Jesus Christ was in a man named Stephen and was formed in a man named Stephen, and the very words that came out of Stephen's mouth at his death were like the words of Jesus Christ, God Almighty saved a man that would reach the Gentile world, because he was like Jesus. How many can we count the similarities of your life? Oh, that's like Jesus. That one's that attitude. Oh, that's Jesus' attitude. He gives like Jesus. He talks like Jesus. She dresses like Jesus. When I look at that person, I just think of Jesus. How many do we have? How many can we put down with you? Well, preacher, how do we reach the gospel? Well, let Christ be formed in you and be like Jesus. Go back to our text or where we're at, Genesis 37. Genesis 37, 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. Here they strip Joseph, verse 24. They throw him and cast him into the pit, and then the Bible just explains that further to you and says it was empty. An empty pit. There was no water there. And this is the bad thing, verse 25. And they sat down to eat bread. Hey, Joseph, how is it down there? And they're enjoying their meal and eating their bread and fellowshipping. And Joseph is down in there stripped in a pit that's empty with no water while people are fellowshipping over his plight. They deprived Joseph of his dignity in stripping him. They deprived him of necessity. They took away his water. They deprived him of any fellowship. They isolated him in an empty pit. They put him down in there with nothing. And of course, that's just like Jesus Christ, who was stripped for us. Amen. Who went down into the depths for us. Who bare our sins and our emptiness and was alone. And was alone, and God was turned his back, and all that. That's a type of Jesus. But remember, our message is about how I can be that type of Jesus. You know what I notice? I notice that a lot of God's people don't want to be deprived of any joy or of any dignity. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ is more important than your dignity. Whatever we have to lose so that others could be saved would be no greater sacrifice than our Savior made. And our example, Paul said, he said that he endured the loss of all things. He said, I've given up everything. Everything. Family, future, reputation. I've given up everything. Just like Joseph, what are you doing down there in that pit? You know what's interesting about this? As Joseph is in the pit, if I was down in there in the pit, I'd say, come on, guys, let me out. Right? Or could you spare some bread or water, guys? Come on. Down in there by myself. Come on, guys. Hey, fellas, I'll never do it again. I won't tell on you anymore. Just let me out of here, please. Come on, I'm your brother. This isn't fair. Not one word. Not one protest. nothing. And when they crucified our Savior, He opened not His mouth. And we bellyache and complain. We've got to do this again and got to give again and got to sacrifice. And what do I have to do without? How about stripped and barren and alone in a pit, empty by yourself with no water so somebody can be saved? How about that? Well, preacher, I don't think that's a very good plan. How can we reach Cambodia that way? This guy's fixing to reach a whole world that way. He's deprived. Verse 27. Genesis 37, 27. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchant men. They drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. They sold him, right? He sold. For how many pieces of silver? 20 pieces of silver. Jesus Christ was sold, right? How many pieces of silver? 30. That means he's about 10 shekels of silver from being just like Jesus Christ. Wonder what my testimony would be worth. You remember that woman that lost those pieces of silver and she was looking for one, just one? One piece of silver. And the Bible says, wow, she found it and they rejoiced, you know, because she found that one piece of silver. The sad thing is, God probably is having a heart. He may not find the 30 piece of silver guy. He may not find the 20 piece of silver guy. But I wish he'd just find maybe the one piece of silver guy. And he's sold. He's bought and sold like a slave. Can I tell you, that's an individual that'll be like Jesus, that'll reach his world. What's that got to do with missions? Well, you're bought with a price. I don't meet many Christians that think their lives have been totally sold to the will of God. I'm not my own. Okay, God, you're selling me to the Ishmaelites. Okay, God, you're sending me here. You want, okay, everything I have is yours. You're bought with a price. Be not ye therefore the servants of men. Why? Because I'm sold to do the will of God. I don't have anything that's mine. I'm sold. I'm bought. And many times we run over to 2 Peter where he says that group of false prophets and false teachers and those apostates, the Bible says, even denying the Lord that bought them. Remember that text in 2 Peter? Those people that don't even believe Jesus bought them. Well, I've met a lot of Christians that don't believe Jesus bought them. They deny the Lord what he wants from their life. God, you want my money? You want my kids? You want next month? You want next year? You want tonight at 6:45? Well, I belong to you. I'm sold. I don't get to make my decisions. See, that's not preaching that people like to hear in 2016 or whatever year this is. You can't tell people that they're not. You know, nothing you have is yours if you're saved. Everything you have comes from God. Everything I have comes from God. I borrowed his air. I borrowed his sunshine. Everything I have is his gift. And I am bought with a price. And until I see myself sold, then I'll keep fighting for my rights and everything I want to do and everything I want to have. You don't have a problem getting anything out of somebody that's sold. They don't have anything. preached a missions conference one time. I'll not do it here. You guys are already doing so much more than everybody else is doing in the world, so I'll not put that on you. But I preached a missions conference one time about, you know, missions conference shouldn't be about figuring out how much money you can give to God or what you can give to God, but how much of His money and His life He'll let you keep using. But you see, until God's people keep looking at their lives like theirs and their money's like theirs and their kids are like theirs and their future's theirs, and then the world goes to hell without a witness. Because I'm living for me, I'm not living to Him. And I can dress it all up and make it look real spiritual. But until I'm sold, sold. It's all gone, all His. That's why I like singing that song we sang tonight. I am His. I am His. And He is mine. And whatever you want to do with my life, I'm yours. I'm sold. We're called of God to abandon our lives for Jesus Christ and for His will. You say, man, that's tough. No, that's just Christianity. It's just Christianity. Oh, Jesus, I want to follow You. Okay, leave everything. What do we really think Christ Jesus the Lord would preach to us if He was here tonight? Really? What would He say? He probably would say, I want it all. Because He deserves it all. And He's worthy of it all. And it's all better in His hand. And it doesn't work out in my hand. Joseph saved much people alive, but his life was an abandonment of his own self and his will. Would you look at chapter 40, please, hurriedly? Preacher, what time am I supposed to stop? Chapter 40. We have a heart for the world. Well, let's be conformed to the image of our Christ and become a Joseph. Genesis chapter 40, the Bible tells us in verse 14. here you got this baker, right? Joseph now in Genesis 40 is in prison. He goes from the pit to Potiphar's house, and then he goes into the prison. And while he's in the prison, here comes a baker, right? And here comes a butler, right? And they come into that prison with Joseph, and they say, hey, man, we dreamed a dream. And Joseph, tell me about it. And the butler says, hey, I had a cup. And I took some of the vine and some grapes, and I squeezed that cluster into the cup, and I gave it to the king. And the baker said, well, you know what I do? I do the same thing. I had all these baked meats. I baked all this stuff for the king. Joseph looked at him and said, in 3 days, you're going to be restored, and in 3 days, you're going to be condemned. Boy, I tell you what, that's preach all in there. Do you know that with the plight of Jesus Christ, there was one that was condemned and there was one that was restored? And right there was a cup and some grapes and some bread. And Jesus said, Joseph said, in 3 days. I don't think any of that's coincidence. But right here, the verse I want you to look at, Joseph said, guys, he said to the butler, when this happens, he says this, verse 14, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Jesus says to the butler, he says, remember me. Maybe that's why it touched the heart of Jesus Christ when that thief called out, remember me. Back to the story of Joseph. Somebody remember me. The Bible says in verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. What did Jesus Christ tell his disciples with the cup and with the bread? He said, guys, this do in remembrance of me. Would you remember me? Would you remember my body? Would you remember my blood? Would you remember my sacrifice? And don't forget about me. Somewhere along the way, as Bible-believing people, we don't have a lot of traditions or a lot of things we keep, and it's just that we do all the time. But that one thing Jesus said, as often as you do this, you're remembering me. Because so many times our lives, we just forget about him. We just forget about him. It's easy to ignore my commitment to Christ when I just forget about him. And living the life of Jesus Christ sometimes means that people forget about you. But we're not doing things for people to remember us. We want them to remember the Lord. Can we remember what he said? Can we remember his commission, his commandment, his heart, and not forget him? You know, the good thing about that story, too, the next chapter, that butler, he gets before the king and he said, I remember my faults. that baker, he was mad, he thought he was going to get good news and he got bad news. And the butler got good news and he didn't do what he was supposed to, and then he says, I remember my faults this day. I forgot about him. I forgot about what he said and how he gave me the truth and how he thought on me and helped me. And King, I want you to remember him. Go to chapter 41. I've got to hurry. Chapter 41, the Bible says in verse 39, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Genesis 41:39, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Amen, 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 amen. Lord, you know how to do it. You know how to figure it out. I don't know nothing. Brother Joe and I told him, that Bible says if any man thinks he knoweth anything, he knows nothing as he ought to know it. We don't know nothing. So instead of trying to figure it all out, why don't we just let Christ fill our lives and make us into the image of Jesus Christ and then let him live our lives through us? He knows how to do it. None so discreet and wise as thou art. Watch it. Verse 40. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Amen, amen, and amen. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I've set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and made him to ride the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. Bow the nominee. He's in charge. He's exalted. The whole world is in need, but there was no famine then. But they still needed to bow the knee, and he still needed to be exalted. And he still needed to be lifted up. And that Bible says over there that when the famine hits at the end of the chapter, verse 54, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. Just go to Joseph. You get to that next chapter, you know what they do? They run out of money. And now they don't need money, they need bread. They say, what's this money going to do for us? Take all the money. You know what? You know why? Because the need of man's heart isn't anything that money can buy. You can't eat money. You can't fill your soul with money. You can't even fill your belly with money. Try eating it. Money is so worthless. Money is not what you need. Not what I need. It's not what the world needs. The world doesn't need us to take all our money over there. What the world needs is a spiritual need. They need Jesus. They need bread. And Jesus said, I am the living bread. I'm the bread which came down from heaven. If a man eat it, he'll live forever. You need bread. What all those little red dots need? They need bread. But they'd never get it. They bow that knee. And until Jesus is in his rightful place, until he's lifted up, they said, money, take the money. Houses? What's my house going to do me any good when all my kids die? Sure, take my house. Oh, we don't have any money anymore. We don't have any house anymore. Well, I tell you what, we got bread. The rest of the world's dying, but we got bread here. Joseph gives us bread. Well, now what is it? I don't have any money. I don't have any houses or lands. I tell you what, Joseph, just take me. Take my body. Take my body. And now the one that was sold, people are selling themselves to him. Take me. And before we get to the end of the story, the ones that stripped him, he's going to clothe them. And when they wouldn't give him anything, now he's giving everybody something. Because he's lifted up. The Bible says the Lord exalted Jesus Christ to be a Savior. He's lifted up to be a Savior. And if we'll lift him up, when we're trying to lift me up, it just, we lift him up. But then you get all the people that say, yeah, well, it's just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And they're just trying to be spiritual. You know that crowd in Corinthians there. Oh, I'm of Christ. Well, really, then why are you fighting so much? Why aren't you getting along doing what Christ wants you to do? To exalt Jesus to the world. Now listen, I'm finished. Jesus Christ, or God, was lifted up in Joseph's life. Because remember, he's the picture. He's the picture of the Savior. You know what Paul said? Said, they glorified God in me. When they looked at me, they saw Jesus. When they looked at me and listened to me, they heard the word of Jesus. They got the bread of Jesus. And my heart and your heart needs to be so conformed to the image of Christ that whatever place the Lord puts us in, anywhere in the world, that they'll get a picture of the risen Christ, the victorious
the Christ, the Christ that can meet their need because they see the need met in us.
The only hope for the world is Jesus. The only hope for this world is Joseph. And I'm trying to tell you tonight that the world still needs a Joseph. The world still needs a Joseph. Or they'll not get fed the bread. And you can't figure it out. And I can't figure it out. But if we'll bow the knee and say, Lord, make me usable and pliable. And here I am. And may Christ be formed in me. That's what they need. They need a living vessel unto the honor and glory of our Savior. And you'll never give to missions like you should or have the heart for missions or be the witness or the missionary. You'll never be a part of feeding the world until you yield your heart to the Master. And when he's got it all, he knows how to use it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I pray you'd help me tonight. I pray that you would form the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. Oh God, forgive us of having so few similarities to the blessed Savior. And work in our hearts for not only the glory of God, but for the feeding of the hungry souls of this world. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.